Hello, and welcome to another episode of Go, Go, Grow. I'm Michelle Page, your host, and also the founder of Revenue Chasers. If you're looking for knowledge, tips, tricks, laughter, and otherwise information about how to grow and scale your business, you are in the right place. Today, my lovely guest in the area of expertise of information governance is Lisa Patterson. She's with Holiday & Associates, and I'm going to let you introduce yourself in a moment because there's a big old mouthful of what all you do. But essentially, as COO and co-founder of Holiday & Associates, you are a tech solution provider and also a professional service firm. And in the areas of expertise, your core competencies are cloud computing, data governance, information architecture, things that probably confuse the heck out of a lot of people. It's really probably simpler than they think. Those are just fancier names than they probably are used to. Can you break it down for us and tell us what exactly it is? And if it's all services or if you also have any other type of product or anything.
Well, hi, Michelle, and thank you so much for having me on the show.
I'm excited that you're here.
Yes. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm happy to talk about the space that we're in. Interesting enough, it is information governance, which is, as I say, it's a broader umbrella around the management of your information within an organization. So it's like the overarching area. And then, you know, people might be very familiar in particular with a term called IT governance. Mm-hmm. And that is really around the people and the processes and the technology now to help you run operations effectively. So maybe some of the processes that you're doing within. And then there's also data governance, which is interchanged a lot, and it is a component. And so I want to say that IT governance and data governance are components of information governance. And so data governance now looks at data hygiene and the quality. So many times people think of scanning databases because of the structured data that's within. Mm-hmm. We don't do that within our firm in terms of scanning the data, but we start out with the maturity assessment, which really looks at how mature you are with your information governance processes. And from there, then we can delve into if they're deficiencies and needs for you to have a more focused data governance and IT governance process. So in a nutshell.
Wow. So so it sounds like it's the entire scope of their business operations, efficiencies, and how they can improve all that through their technology, their structure, risk management, legal compliance, things like that. Is that a pretty good assessment?
Yes, very good assessment in particular when we look at information governance. So when you think of information governance, things that come to mind quickly are compliant and legal. So for instance, if you're a financial industry, now you have your business operations, but there's also regulatory requirements outside of that that you need to be mindful of. And so that is where information governance comes in particular there. And for data governance, now you think of a very simple example for data governance is when you think of just a file folder. So you have a file folder. Within your file folder, you might have Excel files, you might have Word documents, you might have PowerPoints. Well, the Excel file would be considered structured data because of the columns and rows that we can look at those particular properties. And the Word document and the PowerPoint file has properties as well, but you can't search for them like you can with Excel, right? And so that is where you have a little bit of what you will call now their document libraries now. Cosmos is a familiar one that people might know of. And I think there's one called Superbase, and there are probably many others. But again, so you think of that, think of a file folder, because many of us use file folders all the time.
Right.
And so when you think of that, that's data governance. Those are things to be concerned about with structured and unstructured data. So unstructured data also could be emails or text messages, right? And then structured data, those are elements that are within a database that you can search, make decisions on, and where they're entities and relationships.
That makes so much sense to someone who thinks, wow, what is it that Holiday & Associates does? So I want to kind of set the groundwork on how you and I know each other. So several years ago,
You and I worked on a mission critical project. It was a state government contract. You worked for one of perhaps the top known global consulting companies in the, obviously in the world. And I was working for a subcontractor that supported you while you supported a state government. So this was the largest scale project I worked on that dealt with PPI, personal private information. And I had a team of over 300 that accessed the state government system and dealt with PPI of well over a million people. I was one of five of your teams. I learned more about information governance, information architecture. I knew a lot about data security already because I am, you know, preaching from the mountain about data structure, CRMs, data integrity, data accuracy, data hygiene. But the governance part of it is something that was brand new to me. And I learned so much from you and found out why it's so darn important, even for small businesses.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you run across a lot of small businesses that don't realize this really does apply to them?
Yeah, I think most businesses, again, if you're not like a Fortune 500 firm, you kind of think that it's, you don't really think of information governance as, again, because it's a Ghibli job. Like, you know, what's that word? What does it even mean? Governance. But it doesn't matter your size because you have information, like from the minute you start, I go as far back as a job application, mm-hmm. that is information that is being captured and entered into a system. And it evolves, especially if you're onboarded and you become a member of that team, that's information that's mm-hmm. traveling. And so that information in particular needs to be safeguarded, right? Because there's information within a human resource system, mm-hmm. talent system that everyone doesn't need access to.
And should not have access to,
right? And that's where some of those controls come into play. So it doesn't matter the size of the firm because you have data that you're capturing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, maybe years later, you want to go back and find something just searching alone. Like there's so much inefficiencies around just searching for files that you need.
Right.
Large firms go through this, right? So imagine a smaller firm. And then if you have a phone, I go as a small business, you have your mobile phone. Mm-hmm. Well, you have clients. It's your mobile phone right now. You might not have multi-factor authentication on your phone in particular to segregate your data mm-hmm. and your client's data. It could be a data breach. So, I mean, something as simple as that could be a text message.
And it could be a data breach of your client's system.
That's right.
And that bad actor could now access your information, even though your system was secure. It's your client's data that was hacked.
Absolutely. And in particular, even if you're a small business, you might have contracts with the federal government. Well, if you have contracts with the federal government and you're doing business with them, their data needs to be safeguarded in a particular way. And so you potentially need to have a system within your organization to address security around your client's data, right? So there's your corporate data, your company's data, and your client's data. And these are things to think about. And a small business, again, going back, like as we talk about, start with the end in mind. So mm-hmm. having these processes in place from the beginning,
yeah.
you know, to help facilitate a smooth exit strategy, should that be something that comes into play?
So I've got to tell you, when we worked together and I had this team of, you know, give or take, depending on, you know, seasonal churn and whatever, about 300 people, because of the nature of the project, we would occasionally have situations that we had to report on as incidents. And with this incident report, it had to go all the way up the chain. All the key leaders had to get a copy of it. And it could not contain PPI. Well, the individuals, the citizens that we were working with were often identified by a social. It could not go on that report because it went through email. And many of the team members would put it on the report, would email it to the supervisor, email it to their team leader, email it to me. And, you know, it would go over to your consulting firm. Lisa would look at it. This has PPI. Anyone who copied on this email has to delete the email, go into your sent items and delete it, go into your trash can and delete it, go into your recycle and delete it. And everybody would say, man, she's a stickler. And now we understand why.
Absolutely. And that's that, my friend, was IT governance rigor.
Yes. Right.
That was the rigor around IT governance, you know, safeguarding now your systems that you have in place to run business operations from risk protections. That's a very wonderful example. Yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't like you so much.
Well, I think there's a quote around there about being liked, you know.
But I'll tell you, even though that was such a highly stressful environment, you and I clicked. Very much like-minded. Mm-hmm. And
so very analytical.
Yes.
Skills.
So sometimes you didn't like me so much.
In the beginning, but I've learned to appreciate your thoroughness, right?
We both do our jobs very, very well. Yeah. And if it means pushing the limits with somebody who is an obstacle to delivering the best results we're hired to deliver, then we're going to push a little bit on that. And that's why our clients love us. Yes. So, stepping away from that. So, we touched on why this is so important, even to small businesses, even if you are a solopreneur. Let's think about it. Why are people in business?
To make money.
To make money. And I'm going to throw two more on there. In addition to making money, they are in there because they want to build their business. If they are mowing lawns and they have one lawn, they probably want to get two.
That's right. Scalability. Yeah.
Absolutely. If they make deli sandwiches, they probably would like to hire two or three more sandwich makers. Same as, you know, if they design SaaS technology, they would love to get more customers. So they want to make money. They want to build their business. And that hand-in-hand goes with they want to protect their business. So you touched on this before, and I'm going to ask you to expand upon each of these. So I'm going to put you on the spot here for a moment. So with these three goals of virtually every single business owner, and we're talking about for-profit businesses here, but a lot of it still applies to nonprofits. Those three primary goals, there's five major areas of risk exposure that all of them need to be aware of. So I'm going to list the five, and I want to then dig into each one of them.
Okay.
So the first one has to do with something you mentioned, operational inefficiencies. So that can cost you money, and it can stand in the way of building your business. Not treating your information assets as assets, again, can cost you money, can also have legal implications. Inadequate alignment of your information with your business goals. So not fully utilizing. Data protection and privacy. That has litigation all over it. And like I just mentioned, the legal, the non-compliance, that whole realm. So I'll recap those for you if you don't want to go from memory. So give us some examples of types of, for example, the operational inefficiencies. Why is that so important? What are some examples of it? And what would you, with holiday and associates look at to help a client with?
Yeah. Well, I think operational efficiency, that starts from the beginning. And mm-hmm. so there is, when we are doing, so when we start any engagement, we start with a maturity assessment.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
And the maturity assessment is important because you don't know where you are going unless you know where you are. Uh-huh. And so it's really about asking some clear-cut questions about your information posture. And there is an association out there, different standards, but there's one association out there. It's called the ARMA, so Association for Records Managers and Administrators. And they have about 8 or so principles that you can go through around accountability. Accountability is like, is there this, does a senior person have, do you have buy-in? Right. Mm-hmm. We talk about this, it bleeds into change management, but do you have buy-in? You know, is it transparent? Do you know about the processes and how to use them? Availability, can you access the data? So this comes into efficiencies. And we talked about sometimes searching for information. Yeah. You know, sometimes you're working within your space and you need a particular artifact to move the needle to where the end product is money, right?
Right.
Making money for the firm.
Right.
So look at that. We look at also retention, right? How long do you retain the information? Because mm-hmm. it costs to store data. So that's another reason why you want to make sure you have an efficient process. And then there's disposition of the data. Well, depending on the industry you're in, there's regulations mm-hmm. around how long you should hang on to data.
And probably how you dispose of
it. How you dispose of the data and how you archive of the data. Mm-hmm. So there's several elements there within that you can start with that from the beginning. And, you know, it sounds like a lot, especially if you're a small firm, but there are core elements of that that we can work with you on just to make sure that you have something in place as a foundation to start.
And, you know, you mentioned what you're calling is the maturity audit.
Yeah.
And I have so many consultants, advisors, fractional executives in my network. And of course, the services I work with clients to deliver, the first practical step anytime you're engaging with a client is, okay, what's your current state? What's your desired state? Whether it's like a revenue goal or an expansion goal or a legal compliance goal. And what is the bridge to get there? So if you're a business owner, an entrepreneur, if you're thinking about starting a business, it is so critical that that audit, that assessment is done pretty much for every aspect of your business.
Yeah. Like it is the starting point. And I mean, for a smaller firm, so there are layers to this, right? So you'd have the maturity assessment, as we would say, and we might discover, you know, and part of that process really involves a series of workshops. And so we are engaging and having conversations with you. And then that's going to yield some results, right?
Yeah.
And so based on those results comes a list of recommendations as well as a roadmap. And sometimes depending on the organization, the recommendations could be that you need an information governance steering committee. Now, a smaller firm may not have the luxury of putting that in place, but you can have a fractional person help support that, a chief information governance officer or some type of role to just help you with visibility. Because as an entrepreneur, a solopreneur, you should know information. You should know where your data is. This is helping you be competitive. This can help you make decisions. Yeah. And so you should have a handle on it, right? Even at the highest level, you should. And so if you don't, so that one thing could be, again, a steering committee could be an outcome, or it could mm-hmm. be, well, these are the things that we need to do to get you to this next level of maturity, as an example.
Yeah. So part of that operational efficiencies, I think the standard rule of thumb is in most organizations, especially those that don't have that great infrastructure, and it doesn't even have to be a great infrastructure. Let's call it any infrastructure. 30% of time on average is wasted just looking for information.
Yes. Yes.
I want to tell you a personal story. and I'm pointing the finger at me here. So I have had 8 businesses. So some successful, some not so much, but serial entrepreneur over here. The last 3 that I've had have been all in the consulting area, the business growth, marketing focused, revenue growth. I have a lot of content, whether it's templates, reports, information, resources. Now, in the last 15 years, I'm guessing that's about 8 laptops. And I'm guessing that's about 3 external hard drives. I don't know how many flash drives. My data might have been at one time very organized. And on each laptop, it may have been organized. Right now, it's a hot mess. So as I'm trying to take the wealth of the content I've developed over my career and compile it into educational materials that I can provide my followers, my audience, my clients, and put out there as a product, there's a lot of redundancies. There's a lot of items that were of high value because, you know, I only do high value. that I'm like, I know I had that. Where was that? So I have finally seen the light and I've hired an assistant to go through, comb through all of these files manually and say, okay, put your eyes on it. Mm-hmm. Is it a duplicate? Get rid of it. Is it 5 different files and 3 of them say the same thing 5 different ways? Then consolidate them and we can figure out how to pull the best out of it. I've got to make sense of it because I don't have data governance. I clearly don't have data hygiene. I clearly don't have data infrastructure. I don't have data IT governance. And these are the things that when I met this woman named Lisa Patterson, I realized for me to achieve the new goals I've set for my business, this is what's needed.
Yeah. And I will say you have information governance, right? And I think that a lot of organizations don't realize it. Like what you've said, people hire, like, and you mentioned you hired an assistant. And so their companies now, of course, larger companies, they might hire a consulting firm like us, and you might come in to do the same thing. We're looking for redundancies. Mm-hmm. And there's something called rot, again, data that's no longer needed, duplicative data to mm-hmm. get rid of that. Because again, it, you know, for companies, that storage fees, it's costing them. And then it's also risky.
Yes.
Right. To have some data, right. Again, based on your business operation. So what, you know, so maybe a process to archive. So it sounds like you have some of that in place and now you're doing the formality. And the key thing that you mentioned that was interesting is all of this, you know, knowledge, you know, that you have, digital asset and is helping you now create education, for your business. Right.
Yeah.
And again,
and for everybody else's business.
Right, but these are the things that make information governance so powerful. And again, it's a word that you hear whenever we hear governance, we think of controls and who are these people? They're going to come in and are they going to bog down my day and be a bottleneck and make my life harder? But really, it is the foundation for you to work well together. And again, when we talk about having that governance committee, generally includes people from the business. It will include people from risk, compliance, legal, mm-hmm. if you have those structures,
right.
IT. And so we're talking. And so when companies, like, we're always doing digital transformations. There's always a system implementation going on.
Yeah, we may need to have a side conversation.
But it's like, well, where's the data going, right? Where's yeah. the data going? How are we going to handle that data? And it's having those conversations when you have the foundation in place, it's easier now to scale and grow your business, yeah. right? It's easier now for you to have some decision-making system that you can leverage on the data and figure out, well, how can I productize or monetize, you know, all of this wonderful information that I've curated and captured throughout the years.
So let's take my example, yeah. my personal pain story.
Sure.
3 goals of a business, of having a business: to make money. Can't make money off of things that are hidden in on my hard drive and external drives, build my business. Again, I have, you know, 10,000 Legos sitting on the floor ready for me to step on and, you know, no castles built. going back to my childhood. And protecting my data. If I want to copyright, trademark, anything like that, I have time stamped materials somewhere. Mm-hmm. Somewhere.
Somewhere.
Scary. I have no protection of that data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's important, guys.
Very, regardless of the size of your organization, it's very
exactly.
important.
So 15 to 20 years worth of what could have, should have been scaling my company when I was, and I've mentioned this in a past podcast, the first 15, 20 years was very much a lifestyle business. That's what I intentionally made my company. I enjoyed being, you know, one-on-one. I'm going to work with you. We're going to go side by side. We're going to take on your goals and we're going to achieve them together. And now I'm thinking, okay, I still enjoy that. I enjoy being there to see you go from point A, not to B. Let's go up to Z. But I want to touch more people. I want to help more people. I want to make my help more accessible. So I've got to scale. And that's what's motivating this for me to realize what I did as a lifestyle business is not sustainable if I want to build and protect.
Yeah.
So we touched a little bit. Oh, the other thing I wanted to mention. So the 30% on average that time is wasted inside a company just searching for data. The golden rule, if you'll call it that, and I don't know if it's been documented, but I've heard it a number of times. The leader of a business, whether it's a CEO of a large enterprise or a solopreneur, they should be able to access the information they need or be able to find out who has that data within 15, 20, 30 minutes.
Wow. Yeah. Look at that. That's the reason.
Can you do that?
Governance.
Can you do that?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you are a CEO of a $50 million company, you may not know what your customer churn was for last quarter, last year, last rolling 3 years. But you should know who has that data.
That's right.
And they should be able to produce it in a short period of time.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
I challenge you to do that with a spreadsheet that's on 5 different hard drives.
Yeah. Good luck with that. Right.
Okay. So we talked about operational mm-hmm. efficiencies. So let's talk a little bit about mismanagement or misuse of data as the asset that it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I think you even touched on that a little bit, you know, with some of the processes that we had, right? And I think that's a good example.
Yeah.
You know,
didn't even think of that.
Yeah, you touched on it. I think that's a really good example for everyone to understand.
Yeah.
And I think mismanagement comes about when, again, this is where our nice friend change management is going to weave its mm-hmm. head in here, right? Because mismanagement, because I don't think people intentionally mismanage data, but when you don't have user adoption for a system that you've recently implemented and people mm-hmm. kind of covet the way that they do business already and they continue to do that, that's how data is mismanaged, right?
It's absolutely.
Culprit. I think that's a common culprit that people can resonate with.
Absolutely. And I think one of the main things is when you're trying to put in implementations and like SaaS integrations or something like that, if you aren't paying attention to how you want to use it and who's going to use it and just properly tracking all of that through, you know, the data life cycle. I mean, we talk about the customer life cycle from a sales and marketing perspective. What is your data life cycle?
Yeah. Like when it starts, right? How is it mm-hmm. created? How is it digitized? Mm-hmm. You know, how is it tracked, identified, retained,
yeah.
you know, yeah, what's the life cycle for that?
And you mentioned from an HR perspective, the data life cycle starts when somebody fills out a job application. Yeah. So when you start working with a supplier, as soon as that relationship starts and you share your vendor information with them or they share theirs with you,
it starts.
It starts.
That's right.
What about when you sign a customer? How are you getting paid?
That's right.
There's payment information.
That's right.
You're either receiving some sort of electronic payment or a check or account information or something. Or there's maybe cosigner information.
Yeah.
And
what about the contract, right? The contract are the master services agreement. These are things, right? And where are they being kept? And what is the process, you know, when you close a project?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about mismanagement of data. Now, my background is largely, has largely been in project management. And I'm sure yours has been too. You're a general manager. And you were doing some project management aspects. And so how do you properly close an engagement? You know, are you really closing? Are you really getting sign off? Like sometimes that never happens because you're on to the next engagement so quickly. It's a common thing everywhere.
Right? Yeah.
But there are processes around that, and that can lead to mismanagement of data in of itself. You know, where are the files? Where are the contracts? So the master services agreement, where's that? The statement of work, you know, has that actually been signed off? Do people even still do project charters? And if they do, are they really signing them off to transition you to the next phase of the engagement? And so all of those things could bleed into to data being mismanaged.
Absolutely. Another, I see I'm telling myself a lot in these podcasts.
It's because we're experienced.
You had talked about how long you keep the data, how you store it, and how you dispose of it, archive it, whatnot. I recently moved from Atlanta to Jacksonville area, and I had been in my house for 22 years. As part of the purge before I moved, I had to shred every tax return since 1986. Keeping the last 10 years.
Right.
But with so many businesses, I mean, dating back to, I think, 1995, when I opened my first corporation in Ohio. I had two in Ohio, five in Georgia. I've lost count. Yeah. So, I mean, for every single corporate one, just in case, keep it.
Same.
So, yeah. And where did I store it? We're not going to talk about that, but it's shredded now.
Yeah.
Finally. So you have to step back and think as a business owner, think about how you're going to build and protect, and don't just put it aside and think, okay, I'll deal with this later. I'm just going to put it over here. I'm going to put it just under this file folder and file explorer. No.
Mm-mm.
Make sure it's in the right folder. If it's, you don't have a folder, create a folder, label it properly. When we worked on that project together, my assistant GM, he and I got along very well in a lot of ways, but he and I had different thought processes and ways of thinking compartmentally about things. So when he organized, a lot of our share drive items. He had a unique filing system, which was completely different than the first round. And I asked him to relabel everything to mirror the first round. And I do believe I had a few names called to me. But I was adamant. It needs to be... It's got a mirror. It's got to mirror. So I don't know if that's OCD, ADHD, or what it may be. But if somebody else is coming behind me, if, you know, the state or your consulting company comes back and says, I need this information in 15 minutes,
right?
Like I just mentioned, I need to be able to find it.
Yeah.
It's got to be labeled properly. It's got to be filed properly.
Yeah. That's good governance. I mean, you're made for this.
I don't want Lisa calling me saying, Michelle.
it's good because you have other people, like your team members, right? And yeah. they're looking for the information. They're the ones, they're the boots on the ground mm-hmm. working with the clients to get the job done. And you want to make things fast. You want to expedite, you know, the process for them and not to put a pleasant plug here for our firm, but I will because
we
have advisory services, but uh-huh. the core piece of our business is a technology platform mm-hmm. built by a consultant for consultants to help force multiply their efforts. So make them yeah. more efficient, right? And so I just wanted to mention that because now we have technology that can help us, but you still need to have a process in place before you begin these automations, right? And so that's right. still where it starts.
And of course you have to have the data to put it in there. And so, you know, we touched on data hygiene, and I think I probably use that phrase in every single podcast. So we're not going to spend a lot of time on that for this episode. If you want to talk further about that, please reach out to me. Check out past episodes as well. We're also not going to spend a lot of time on cybersecurity for two reasons. Mainly because it touches on straddles a couple different categories. And that would be, which two would you say it straddles most?
Primarily focus around the IT governance space, because again, you're thinking about how are you going to protect the data, making sure the right people have access to it and it's safeguarded and stored in a correct location mm-hmm. and accessible. And then also it's going to dabble a little bit in the information governance and data governance space, again, still with regards to safeguarding the data, right? Again, okay. so it will, but the primary area where you'll see it live is in IT governance. Again, think of the project managers, think of the risk managers and,
yeah.
you know, yourself as a GM, right?
Yeah.
So it lives primarily in that space, but it toggles definitely within information governance and data governance.
And the second reason, because right after the episode that we're going to share with the fascinating Lisa Patterson, we have an extremely interesting cybersecurity focused episode. And my expert guest is Michael Hesse. And that will be the next episode being released. So keep your eye out for that one. And he has so much information to share.
It's going to be a good one.
Yeah. And Lisa and I are putting our little heads together about how to put together some more detailed information along these lines. Very preliminary.
It'll be good.
Whatever we do, it's going to be good.
Yeah. Stay tuned for it.
Okay. So the last two I want to group together, data privacy and protection, and also legal and compliance. So very related, not quite the same thing, but very related. Can you kind of touch on those two?
Yeah. Well, I'll start with legal and compliance because you mentioned something earlier when you talked about transactions and really thinking about that. And I found that rather interesting because some companies, if you're a larger firm and you do have a legal and compliance department, well, that's usually the conversation. That's mm-hmm. their role. Like that's their role within that information governance steering committee. And so you're really looking at your business operations and what are your processes? What is your business? What is considered a transaction? Because that is the data that you want to make sure that you, if you're going to delete it, you have to be able to defend it.
Yes.
And so you need to kind of talk through what that means. How long should you hang on to it? And then, of course, the external regulatory requirements that you need to consider for that piece. So that's where that comes in a little bit interesting. And then with protection and privacy, I mean, especially in today's day and age, so many things are in cloud computing. You know, clients want to know, customers want to know, we want to know that our information is safeguarded. I mean, case in point, and this was, I think, TikTok, they just had like a large data breach. Well, they were fined, like, I think, 345 million pounds. And this was some vulnerabilities around their data for privacy for kids. Like, yeah, so they didn't have enough safeguards in place.
Wow.
And that's a lot of money. Again, that's a big firm. And so you think, oh, yeah, TikTok. But, you know, it could happen to a smaller customer base as well. right? So those are some things to consider. Like, again, with data, you're accessing the data, it's in the cloud, you know, the right person needs access to the right data, right? Access and control, identity access management becomes a thing of mind. And you want to make sure as an organization that you're protecting that. The right people with, you know, we have these different functions in an organization. Mm-hmm. We all don't have the same access based on our role or level within the company. And so you want to make sure that you have the provisions in place to safeguard all of that.
And a key part of that is the onboarding and offboarding process.
Yes.
So one of the things I want to talk about with onboarding, a lot of people, especially in the smaller organizations, they'll say, okay, well, you're going to go through training and shadow me for the first week. There's no processes. There's no documentation. And down the road, you're going to hear, well, that's not how I was told to do it. And they've just screwed up your data. They have allowed some leaks. They have opened up security issues. At the very least, they've contaminated your data hygiene. you don't want that to happen to you. Don't let somebody say, well, I wasn't told that. I wasn't taught that way. Have your onboarding tight.
Very. And I would say it's interesting you mentioned onboarding, because I've had, like, I worked at a firm, a more recent firm, and I was amazed by their onboarding process. Like, I'd never experienced that before. I mean, you literally talk to every department, every leader in the department. And so you were understanding your role as a manager, as a leader, your role with regard to talent and human resource information, your role as it came to ethics and standards with the legal. So we had like the attorneys talk to us. So we talked with, so we got on board. So there were processes that were very ironed out across the organization. And part of onboarding included touching all of these areas outside of your core function and talking to your team. And those, so I thought that was really interesting, taking some time talking to IT. I mean, IT might be, I think that's kind of a norm, but this was rather interesting because you talked literally to like every department. And I was like, I was taken aback. I'm like, I've never been onboarded in this way. So when you were finished the rigorous, I want to say it felt like it was 2 weeks, maybe 2 to 4 weeks of that particular kind of training. But when you were finished with that, like you felt so complete. You knew where, then there was a glossary where you knew where to find all the familiar terms with the space that we were operating in, you know, and all this information was accessible. There were org charts. Many companies, many sophisticated companies don't have updated organization charts.
Oh, that person left 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, that is the gold standard.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And just as a side note, when I start working with a client and it's in a revenue leader role, sales marketing role, any type of growth role, I always want, as part of my audit, as part of my strategy development, I want to talk to the head of every functional area. You may not have someone who is called the CMO or the chief product officer or the chief customer success officer, but somebody's handling those functions. So I want to know, as the person who's doing your marketing, as the person who's doing product design, as the person who is handling customer support or service, as the CEO, how do you define your customer? How do you define your marketing message? What do you think your value prop is? By the time you get over to sales, if they're not echoing what everybody else is saying, you got a problem. You have a problem.
Yeah. Agree.
Yeah. So that's the gold standard. You should talk to every single department. New hires should. Yeah. It should be part of your training.
Yes. It was great. It was like literally, you're right. It was part, like every one of these leaders had a role. And then as time went on, I became one of those leaders, you know, as people onboarded and I had to communicate about my department and the role, right? Because there's project management, there's tech consulting aspects. And so again, the project management comes into now the IT governance pieces of it. You know, how are you handling these documents, these files, this information, right? How are you interacting with the teams? So that was a critical piece too. So it was every aspect. And I thought that was really, I mean, it was good. It was good, especially for the person joining, because you realize that this company knows exactly what they're doing. and they care about you from the onset, which is very, user engagement is critical for, not to go off to a different tangent, but to retain your people, right? It starts with that.
Employee retention is a huge part of protecting and scaling your company.
That's right.
But let's pop over from onboarding to offboarding.
What's that?
Still staying on the topic of IT governance. Now, one of the key parts of IT governance, and it might be IT architecture. You'll have to correct me on that if I'm wrong. You need to have an asset list, an inventory list of every piece of hardware, every software license, everything that has to do with IT.
You're right. IT governance. You were right.
Yes.
IT governance.
Yeah. And when there is a renewal, you need to note who that's assigned to. If something is under warranty and you have a warranty claim, or something's replaced, or somebody leaves the company,
that
you need to remove their access.
Yes.
It's scary how many companies do not remove access. Stay tuned to the episode with Michael Hasse, because we have a stat on that. It's going to be shocking.
Yeah. Like, I can't wait to see that episode, because I know I'm not going to be shocked, because offboarding, and that's why I jokingly said, what's that? Because literally, like, I've been at companies before where people have offboarded and they still have access. Now, granted, you can't get behind the firewall, but they still have access.
I'm still on email lists for companies that I've left 3 years ago.
Wow. Oh, okay. Pretty telling. But yes, so offboarding, you know, it exists as a word, as a function, but do we execute against it well? I would say not all the time. And so I'd be very interested to hear what Michael has to say about that. But I've been in companies where, again, and then you're, but then now the IT governance piece of it, because that's why you need to have these bodies of people who are not you that are so close to the work.
Yeah.
And so they'll come and like, hey, you know, did you offboard this person? Did you do this? And then you're like, but they're doing their job.
Yeah.
And that is where the rigor. So you need to have also the right kind of individuals in these roles as well.
So let's talk about action steps.
Yeah.
So as we said, if you are a business owner, I don't care if you're the only one in the business or if you own Hey, Louise and guys, you're going to have to cut that out. Remember, 50. I don't care if you are the only one in the business or if you are a Fortune 100 company. You absolutely have to have somebody outside of the organization audit your IT, your information technology, governance, your data governance, your IT infrastructure governance, the whole thing. Because first of all, you need objective, you need unbiased, and you need also just the latest, the latest information about what's needed, the current threats. And frankly, if you have somebody internal do that, that can be part of your information security threats.
Right. Absolutely. And you're right. And that's why we have independent verification and validation that happens external to the business. And, you know, preparing for, again, the auditors come in. And so you might have an internal, if you're fortunate to have an internal team or maybe one or two resources to do dry runs to make sure everyone is following the process. I mean, that was a key thing with CMMI. That's a capability maturity model for, again, all around IT governance.
Yeah.
So you might have some internal dry runs to prepare for the audit. And the internal dry runs are great because it's making sure that you're agile, making sure you're following the process that you've processes that you've put in place. But you're right, you need an external source to come in, somebody that's objective to let you know, like, hey, you need to clean up.
Yes. If you are looking to scale for your own personal or professional goals, and you want to stay private, you want to stay independently owned, wonderful. You need this. If you are looking to acquire another company, if you're looking to be acquired, this can stop you in your tracks.
Significant delays. Yeah.
Yes. If you are looking to get venture capital, if you're looking to get a large working capital loan or grant or anything like that,
yeah,
you better have it in tip-top shape.
Absolutely. And that's the time that you think about it, like, oh, I wish I'd done it. But now you're spending probably hours, like hundreds of hours, you know, going through your information to get organized. Like, think about that inefficiency for you as a solopreneur. Like, why mm-hmm. should you spend your time on that? You need to be out here making money,
right?
Scaling your business, not mm-hmm. scurrying through data.
Exactly. Right?
So start correct from the beginning. It doesn't have to be overly elaborate. You could reach out to us at Holiday and Associates and we can have a conversation with you again around how you can understand how mature you are with your information. You'll be shocked. And again, solopreneur, I get it. It could just be a conversation.
Yeah.
Because again, our conversations have led you to delve a little deeper into some of your historical mm-hmm. information, right? So it could be a conversation. It doesn't have to be a full blown maturity assessment if you feel like you're so small, but there's some things that you want to consider from now. You don't want to wait until it's too late.
So the tech platform that you mentioned, mm-hmm. can you give us just a high level of who would most benefit from that and the key aspects that is going to help them in their business and why that might be why they want to have a conversation with you or your firm?
Yeah. So the tech platform, as I mentioned earlier, was developed by a consultant. So my partner, John Holiday, he's a brilliant engineer and amongst many other things, but this is the area of focus. And he spent so many years in the industry working with records management, information architecture in particular. And he found it quite challenging as a consultant out here working, repeating some of the same activities over and over again and becoming very inefficient with that. And so he thought it would be ideal to create a platform for consultants. So this is ideal for, as a starting point, for information governance consultancies or independent information governance consultants. So call it 1099s if you're an independent, you know, mm-hmm. solopreneur and your space is information governance and you're doing assessments, you're coming to organizations and going through some of those principles that we mentioned, it's ideal for you. Because as I mentioned earlier, there are a series of workshops that need to be had. Well, right now people are capturing that information, maybe a Word document, maybe a spreadsheet, you know, SurveyMonkey, something like that. Well, then you have to pull all of that information together. And so that takes time. You got to pull the information together so you can at least have a draft for your client to preview. And that takes hours. It takes a lot of time when you're doing it manually. Well, now our solution would allow you to enter that information directly into a model that was designed for specifically for that. And so we have a model for ARMA, as I mentioned earlier. We're going to have a model for NIST, so for the security standards that we mm-hmm. talked about. And so you're able now to enter that information as you're having these conversations in these workshops, enter that information, and it has a rules engine. So there's some technology behind the scenes to help now show to you what your assessment is. So you get to quickly see, and before you do this, you start out with a goal, like this is the optimal, you know, stage that I'd like to be in maturity. And then, oh, here's reality after we've gone through it. But now part of it is, well, what are you going to do now to get to the next level? And so now we have technology that we're leveraging along with these conversations where that is seamlessly done in one location. Right. So now, and then it is, so it serves as your blueprint, your organization's blueprint. Absolutely. Okay. And so, of course, we've leveraged some generative AI in there to not only be relevant, but also that's where the force multiplication comes in. But this is going to be based on the data that we've captured about your organization. So this is your personal blueprint. And so when you come back, because when you do this, it's just the beginning. You want to maintain it.
Right.
Right. And so now you have that model that you can go to later on, 6 months later, to see how you're doing and make the adjustments as appropriate. So that is like the key component of it. Again, I say information governance consultancies or information governance consultants as a starting point, but the model is built in such a way that I would say it is really industry agnostic, and it's going to serve as an accelerator from which any organization can build upon, because there is a foundational element in terms of how it was designed. So it's pretty exciting.
That is extremely interesting. And I think I may need to check that out myself. Yeah. So maybe we'll need to have a little demo later.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been very, very informative. And I feel like I've had a sneak peek just from working with you in the past. I hope we have intrigued quite a few audience members to where they're going to want to dig in a little bit deeper to their own situation. And I know there's got to be at least one gap in there. If they can start with one gap and try and plug that, and then, you know, move on to what else they need to do. If they're just starting their entrepreneurial journey, hopefully we've armed them with the information to, you know, not start out on a raft, maybe start out on, you know, a canoe or a kayak.
And wear your life vest too while you're at it. You know, you're a great swimmer, just in case something happens, right? You have to tread water for a while.
Right. So Lisa, is there anything else that, any nuggets of information that we haven't shared that you'd like to share at this time?
I mean, there's probably a lot, but I would say in general, you know, don't think that information governance is foreign. If you have a business, you have information. And so you should have an understanding about how you're creating that information, how it's being tracked, how it's being digitized, how you can store it, how long to retain it, because there are costs associated with that. So just think about it holistically. And many times if there's a process and you have a team member and it's like, well, don't do this. You can't send out that email. Well, that's actually governance. And so start by documenting it.
Jinx.
Great minds. So yeah, and reach out to Holiday and Associates. Take a look at our website. You know, feel free to give me a call. I know Michelle will have my information, but it could just be a conversation to make sure you're on the right track.
And we will have information about how to reach out to Lisa in the show notes. And if you have any resources that you'd like to include, we will be happy to include that as well. So thank you so much for joining us. It's always a joy talking to you.
Yeah, this is fun.
We always have so many laughs together, but we do, we always have a productive time as well. And I always walk away with more information, and hopefully I, you know, shed one or two nuggets your way also.
Well, you always do more than one or two.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Go, Go, Grow. Catch us on YouTube, on all your favorite podcast channels, where I hope you will comment, give us some feedback. What would you like to see on future episodes? Don't forget to subscribe, like us, share it with somebody else who can find some great value or maybe laughter. And we will see you on the next episode. Have a fabulous day.